Crap. The very essence of your favorite perfume, or that distinct, unforgettable taste in your everyday snack. Mm-hmm. Most of us move through our day without a second thought, but there's a fascinating, often unseen world of science, art, and deeply rooted agriculture behind these common sensory experiences.
Absolutely.
Today, we're doing a deep dive into a company you might not have heard of, yet one that profoundly shapes our sensory world, Robertette SA. What's truly compelling about them, as our analysis reveals, is their unique position as a pure play on natural ingredients.
That's absolutely right. Our mission for this deep dive is to extract the most important insights about Robertette from a stack of detailed sources. This is a French family-controlled company, and our goal is to understand precisely why it's considered a natural leader in a truly vital global industry. We'll explore how it has uniquely positioned itself for long-term success, diving deep into its distinctive business model, its impressive financial performance, and its ambitious future strategy. It's a compelling case study of how focusing intensely on a specific high-value niche can lead to, well, global dominance.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Robertette's story begins way back in 1850 in Grasse, France, a place famously known as the historic heart, perhaps even the soul, of the global perfume industry.
The very birthplace, yeah.
What makes their foundational philosophy so unique, especially when you compare them to some of the other giants in this specialized space?
Well, what immediately jumps out from the research is Robertette's unwavering, almost singular focus on natural products. This is their absolute core.
Okay.
While many of their larger, more diversified competitors certainly operate in natural ingredients, they often balance that with a significant presence in, you know, synthetic compounds. Robertette, however, has remained steadfastly committed to naturals.
So it's a real point of difference.
It absolutely is. It's a strategic differentiation that goes back to its very roots. It's not just a preference. It's a deeply ingrained philosophy that guides every decision. Furthermore, the company structure itself is quite unique in today's corporate landscape. It's family-controlled, managed by the fourth and fifth generations of the Maubert family.
Fourth and fifth generation, wow.
Yeah, and that fosters a distinctly long-term orientation, a patient approach to investment and growth, which is absolutely crucial in an industry that relies on multi-year agricultural cycles and cultivating deep, trust-based relationships with growers worldwide.
Right. You can't rush nature.
Exactly. Our sources consistently emphasize Robertette's position as the undisputed world leader in natural aromatic raw materials. Now, this isn't the entire $30, $40 billion flavors and fragrances industry, mind you.
No, it's a specific part.
It's a very specialized, high-growth, and frankly, high-margin subsegment. This niche focus is what insulates it from the more commoditized, price-sensitive aspects of the broader market and positions it right at the intersection of powerful, enduring consumer trends. The key insight here is Robertette isn't just in the F&F game. They've cornered the premium natural end of it. Think of it like a luxury organic farm versus a conventional mass producer. That's their secret sauce for both growth and margin.
That deep-rooted commitment to naturals and that long-term family vision really sets them apart. So it makes me wonder, how do they actually translate this unique philosophy into their daily operations? How is this natural expertise structured within the company day to day?
It's structured across four complementary business divisions, each leveraging that core expertise in naturals.
Okay, four divisions. What are they?
So the first is raw materials. This is truly the foundational business, the very bedrock of Robertette. It's responsible for sourcing, processing, and supplying an incredibly vast portfolio of natural ingredients. We're talking over 1,700 different botanical extracts.
Over 1,700? That's huge.
It's astonishing when you think about the sheer diversity involved. These materials are not only sold to third parties, including even some of their direct competitors, but are also used internally by Robertette's own fragrance and flavor divisions. So there's this internal synergy.
Right, feeding itself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The analysis noted that after a challenging 2023, where sales saw a temporary dip due to customer destocking.
Ah, the destocking effect we saw elsewhere.
Precisely. This division experienced a powerful resurgence in 2024 with 17% growth. In the first half of 2024, it accounted for approximately 25% of the group's total sales, signaling a strong recovery.
Good recovery then. What's next?
Next, we have fragrances, which is currently Robertette's largest division. This is where their perfumers create those exquisite natural scents for everything from high-end fine fragrances that grace luxury boutique shelves to personal care products like skincare and hair care, and even home care items such as candles and air fresheners.
So the stuff you actually smell every day.
Pretty much. This segment was a primary growth engine for Robertet in 2024, expanding by an impressive 16%. This growth was largely driven by strong momentum with high-end luxury perfume houses and innovative emerging brands, all of whom are increasingly prioritizing natural formulations in their products.
Makes sense with the trends.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In the first half of 2024, this division represented approximately 38% of their total sales.
Okay, the biggest slice. What's the third?
The third division is flavors. Think of it as a science and art behind the natural taste in your favorite yogurt, that distinctive soda, or even the savory notes in a gourmet soup.
Oh, so food and drink.
Yes, exactly. This is where Robertet develops those natural flavor profiles for the vast food and beverage industry, spanning categories like beverages, dairy, sweet goods, and savory products. This segment has shown incredibly consistent growth, expanding 5% in 2024 and 6.7% in the first half of the year. This consistency reflects the sustained consumer demand for clean label solutions that's essentially products with fewer artificial ingredients, simpler ingredient lists, and a clear focus on naturalness and transparency.
People reading those labels more carefully now.
They really are. The flavors division accounted for roughly 34% of sales in the first half of 2024.
Okay, nearly as big as fragrances. And the last one.
Finally, there's health and beauty. While currently the smallest segment by revenue, it represents a significant long-term growth opportunity for Robertet. This division focuses on leveraging Robertet's deep expertise in botanical extracts to produce active ingredients for the cosmetics and nutraceutical markets, often referred to as nutracosmetics.
Right. Beauty from within, that sort of thing.
Exactly. It showed healthy 9% growth in 2024, and under their Seed to Success 2030 plan, management has set an ambitious target to double its contribution to group revenue by the end of the decade. This really highlights Robertet's positioning at the powerful convergence of the beauty, health, and wellness industries.
That's a remarkably diversified yet specialized portfolio. What does this diversification across these four segments mean for their overall stability as a company? Does it insulate them from market fluctuations or economic headwinds in any meaningful way?
Absolutely. It's a key factor in their resilience. This balanced diversification across their four complementary segments provides Robertet with a remarkably stable and resilient revenue base.
So one area can pick up slack if another slows down.
Precisely. The strong rebound we saw in the raw materials division and the accelerated growth in fragrances during 2024 confirmed that the slowdown experienced in 2023 was a cyclical phenomenon, primarily driven by industry-wide inventory adjustments by customers, rather than a structural weakness in Robertet's underlying business model.
Right.
It proves they can weather short-term storms because of their broad base and essential role in various end markets. It's like having multiple sturdy pillars supporting a strong structure.
It's clear Robertet has built a resilient business across these divisions, but what's the thread connecting all this? What's the secret sauce that truly creates their competitive edge and holds this entire operation together?
I'm thinking about what our sources describe as their seed-to-scent value chain. It sounds incredibly comprehensive, like they literally control everything from the ground up, but what does it actually entail?
You're honing in on their strategic fortress, as some of the analysis describes it. The seed-to-scent model is Robertet's most significant and durable competitive advantage. It's a vertically integrated model, meaning they exert control over virtually every critical step of the process from the very beginning of the supply chain.
Okay, so starting right at the source.
Exactly. It all begins with sourcing, and it is meticulous. Robertet procures over 1,700 different botanical extracts from more than 60 countries around the world.
60 countries? Wow. Yeah, it's a global operation. They achieve this through a global network of long-term and often exclusive partnerships with local farmers, growers, and cooperatives.
Exclusive partnerships.
Often, yes. This direct sourcing model provides several critical advantages. Firstly, it secures access to rare, high-quality, and sometimes incredibly scarce raw materials. Think about it. Specific types of vanilla from Madagascar, the kind that makes premium ice cream unforgettable.
The good vanilla.
Or unique roses from Turkey, or even rare iris from Tunisia, which is foundational to some of the world's most iconic luxury perfumes. These aren't just commodities you pick up. They're relationships, heritage, and scarcity, which is precisely why Robertet controls them directly.
Makes sense. quality control too.
Absolutely. Secondly, this direct engagement ensures unparalleled traceability and quality control, which is increasingly important to consumers and regulators demanding transparency. And thirdly, by building stable direct relationships, it helps mitigate the price volatility that is often inherent in agricultural commodities. This control, right from the source, is incredibly powerful.
Okay, so they get the best stuff, reliably. What happens next?
Then, the materials move to transformation. Robert Tett has an extensive global infrastructure for this, boasting 32 industrial sites and 14 creation and research centers worldwide.
32 sites? That's a big footprint.
It is. Here, they employ a vast range of extraction and processing technologies. This runs the gamut from traditional methods like distillation, which might evoke images of old-world perfumeries and essential oil production, to incredibly advanced sustainable techniques such as supercritical CO2 extraction.
Supercritical CO2. Sounds high-tech.
It is. It's a greener way to extract delicate compounds. This particular capability was significantly enhanced by their 2024 acquisition of U.S.-based Phasex, a company specializing in these green chemistry solutions.
So they're investing in sustainability tech.
Constantly. This technological expertise allows Robert Tett to create an incredibly diverse portfolio of over 10,000 product references, including essential oils, absolutes, and other natural extracts. It's a massive, complex operation. Like, they're the librarians of the world's natural scents and flavors.
10,000 products. Incredible. And the final step.
Finally, we have creation and delivery. This is where Robert Tett's perfumers and flavorists, who are true artists and scientists, work in close collaboration with clients. These range from global consumer product giants, like the ones you'd see in every supermarket, to highly specialized, niche luxury brands.
So they tailor things specifically.
Exactly. They co-develop bespoke solutions tailored precisely to the client's needs. The sources emphasize how critical these ingredients are to a final product's sensory identity. It's what makes a perfume iconic or a beverage instantly recognizable by its taste.
That signature scent or flavor.
Precisely. To fuel this innovation and ensure they meet evolving demands and stringent regulatory standards, Robert Tett consistently invests a significant portion of its sales, around 8%, into research and development. This is a clear indicator of their commitment to staying at the absolute forefront of natural ingredient science.
8% in R&D is pretty high. That vertical integration sounds incredibly complex to manage, but it also sounds like it builds a massive barrier to entry. Are there any downsides to this level of vertical integration, or is it purely an advantage? And how does this deep integration directly translate into better business performance for Robert Tett? What's the actual payoff?
That's a perceptive question. While vertical integration does require significant capital and operational complexity for Robert Tett, the material suggests the advantages far outweigh any potential downsides, especially given their niche. The real takeaway from seed to scent is their unparalleled control.
Control seems key.
It is. It creates what our sources call a virtuous cycle, because Robert Tett can offer supply security, knowing exactly where their ingredients come from and verifiable quality, something premium customers increasingly demand, especially when it comes to sustainability and transparency.
Right. People want to know the story.
Exactly. They attract and retain those high-value clients. In a world where traceability and authenticity are gold, Robert Tett is literally growing their competitive advantage from the ground up. This deep integration allows them to capture more value across the entire supply chain, from the farm gate all the way to the finished fragrance or flavor.
Capturing value at each step.
Yeah, precisely. And this ability to capture more value directly supports their industry-leading profitability, setting them apart from competitors who might have less control over their sourcing or processing.
That makes perfect sense. And our sources also highlighted their strategic expansion into high-growth emerging economies like Asia, where they aim for nearly 25% of revenue by 2030, up from 16% in 2023. That's a significant strategic move, isn't it? What's driving that particular focus?
It absolutely is. Their geographic diversification is a key part of their growth strategy, ensuring they are positioned for growth in the fastest-growing regions globally, particularly as disposable incomes rise in these areas, fueling demand for premium consumer products. It's about being where the future growth is.
Let's zoom out a bit to the broader flavors and fragrances industry. It's this massive, often unseen market that underpins so many products we use daily. What's the macro environment like? And what are the powerful trends benefiting a specialized player like Robert Tett, especially with their natural focus?
The global flavors and fragrances, or F&F industry, is truly fascinating because it touches so many aspects of our lives without us even realizing it. It's valued at approximately $30-40 billion globally and is projected for stable growth, typically around a 3-5% compound annual growth rate.
Stable, but not explosive growth overall.
Overall, yes. But it's characterized by high barriers to entry and a significant concentration among a few major players, Givaudan, DSM Firmenich, IFF, and Symrise. Robertet, while being the seventh largest player by sales overall, is uniquely positioned as the specialist leader in its specific niche natural ingredients.
That niche leader position again.
Exactly. This is a crucial distinction as it allows them to ride powerful waves of consumer demand. Now, regarding those key drivers and consumer trends, there are several powerful tailwinds benefiting Robertet.
Okay, what are the big ones?
The first and most significant is the secular shift to naturals. Consumer demand for natural, organic, and clean label products is unwavering and permeates every end market you can imagine.
Everywhere you look, basically.
Pretty much. Consumers are meticulously scrutinizing ingredient lists in food and beverages, and free from claims are paramount in cosmetics and personal care. While synthetic ingredients still constitute the majority of the market by volume, natural ingredients are growing at a faster rate and, importantly, command a significant price premium.
Ah, so that's where the value is shifting.
Precisely. This makes the natural segment the most attractive value pool in the entire industry. It's where the high margins are found.
Interesting. What else is driving things?
Beyond just natural, there's a strong focus on wellness and functional ingredients. Modern consumers increasingly seek products that offer more than their basic function. They're looking for added wellness benefits like mood enhancement, stress reduction, or even improved cognitive function.
Like lavender for calm, that kind of idea.
Exactly. This has fueled demand for functional fragrances and flavors derived from natural botanicals that are perceived to offer these health properties. This trend plays directly into Robertet's strengths as a supplier of high-quality, scientifically backed natural extracts.
Makes sense. Anything else?
Finally, we see premiumization and the growth of emerging markets. Rising disposable incomes, particularly among the expanding middle class in regions like Asia Pacific and Latin America, are driving a shift towards premium consumer goods.
People trading up.
Yeah, exactly. These higher-end products, whether it's gourmet food or luxury perfumes, rely heavily on sophisticated, high-quality F&F ingredients for differentiation. Consumers are willing to pay more for unique, natural, and authentic sensory experiences, which creates strong demand for value-added suppliers like Robertet.
Okay, so strong consumer pull. Beyond just these powerful consumer trends, what structural protections exist in this industry that make it so stable, almost impervious to some of the usual economic ups and downs we see in other sectors?
That's an excellent point, and it speaks to what the analysis calls the formidable and durable barriers to entry that protect incumbent suppliers in this industry. First, F&F suppliers have deep customer integration. They aren't just vendors selling a commodity. They are integral partners in their customers' product development and innovation cycles.
More like partners than suppliers.
Absolutely. A specific flavor or fragrance is often a unique, co-created solution that becomes a core part of the end product's brand identity and sensory signature. This is a long-term relationship, not a transactional one.
Okay, that makes sense.
Crucially, there are high switching costs. Once an ingredient is formulated into a successful mass-market consumer product, the cost and risk associated with switching to an alternative supplier are exceptionally high.
Why is that? Risk of changing the product.
Exactly. For example, imagine a major luxury brand like Dior or a global food giant like Nestlé using a specific Robertet ingredient for an iconic perfume or a signature coffee creamer. Even a minor change in that scent or taste could alienate a loyal consumer base, leading to significant brand damage and loss of market share.
You don't mess with a classic formula.
You really don't. This dynamic creates incredibly sticky customer relationships and provides highly predictable recurring revenue streams for suppliers like Robertet.
Sticky customers, recurring revenue, sounds good.
It is. And finally, to compete globally at this level, you need scale, significant R&D, and the ability to navigate complex regulatory hurdles. This includes maintaining a vast portfolio of thousands of raw materials, continuous investment in R&D to stay innovative, a sophisticated global supply chain that can reach 60-plus countries, and deep expertise in navigating an ever-changing web of international regulations.
So it's expensive and complicated to get in.
Very much so. It's not something a new player can easily replicate overnight. Furthermore, the regulatory landscape is becoming increasingly stringent, particularly in developed markets like Europe. There's a growing focus on ingredient transparency, comprehensive allergen labeling, and the ethical and sustainable sourcing of raw materials.
More rules, more complexity.
Yes, and this trend acts as a further barrier to entry because it favors established companies like Robert Tet, which have invested heavily in building traceable, certified, and sustainable supply chains. For instance, their proactive preparation for regulations like the EU's Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, or CSRD.
CSRD, that's the big sustainability reporting one.
That's the one. It essentially demands unprecedented transparency from companies on their environmental and social impact. This puts Robert Tet ahead. They view this not just as a hurdle, but as an opportunity to formalize and enhance their competitive advantage.
Turning regulation into an advantage. Clever.
This confluence of industry dynamics, the shift to naturals, demand for wellness, high switching costs, and rising sustainability standards, creates a powerful and enduring tailwind that Robert Tet, with its authentic positioning, is perfectly placed to capture.
Fascinating. So let's get into the hard numbers. How does Robert Tet's focused strategy, this dedication to naturals and the seed to scent model, truly translate into financial performance? Are they really outperforming their much larger peers in the industry?
The analysis makes it abundantly clear that Robert Tet exhibits exceptional profitability, despite its significantly smaller revenue base. Let's look at some peer benchmarking. If you compare Robert Tet's EBITDA margin for 2024, which stood at a robust 19.4%.
19.4%, that's pretty high.
It is. It's significantly ahead of much larger competitors like DSM Firmenich and IFF. It's also highly competitive with Symrise. Only the market leader, Givaudan, boasts a meaningfully higher margin.
So punching above their weight on profitability.
Absolutely. This is a direct consequence of Robert Tet's strategic focus on high-value natural ingredients, which command premium pricing and come with less commoditization pressure. They're proving that niche leadership can translate to superior financial returns.
Okay, impressive margins. What about growth?
In terms of revenue growth trajectory, Robert Tet has delivered robust performance. Sales grew from $538 million in 2019 to $808 million in 2024, representing a compound annual growth rate of approximately 8.5%.
8.5%? CAGR over 5 years. Solid.
Well, very solid. More notably, in 2024, the company saw a dramatic reacceleration with 12.0% reported growth, driven by an exceptional 10.3% organic growth.
10% organic. That's strong.
Really strong. This significantly outpaced the overall market, especially considering the prior year's challenges. The moderation in 2023 was, as we discussed, a temporary industry-wide destocking phenomenon, which has clearly reversed, demonstrating the underlying strength of demand for their products.
Good bounce back. How have margins evolved?
Looking at profitability and margin evolution, their gross margin has been consistently high and stable, ranging from 53-56% over the last 5 years.
53-56% gross margin. Wow.
Yeah, it's a powerful indicator of strong pricing power and highly effective cost management. The EBITDA margin, as mentioned, has shown a clear upward trend, expanding to 19.4% in 2021 and fully recovering to that same 19.4% in 2024.
Even with inflation hitting.
Exactly. This happened despite significant cost pressures from raw material and energy inflation in 2022-2023, which is quite impressive. It demonstrates their resilience and ability to successfully pass on costs to customers, maintaining their profitability even in a challenging environment.
That pricing power is key.
It really is. This robust operational performance translates directly to their bottom line, with net income growing from $50.6 million in 2020 to a record $90.1 million in 2024, representing a compound annual growth rate of over 15%.
Net income CAGR over 15%. That's fantastic growth.
It's remarkable growth for a company of this scale. Finally, regarding capital efficiency and returns, Robert Tet consistently generates high returns from the capital it deploys. Their return on equity, or ROE, is a very healthy 17.8%.
17% ROE. Very nice.
Indicating strong value creation for shareholders, for the curious learner. That means they're exceptionally good at turning the money they invest into profit. And their return on invested capital, or ROIC, estimates range from a solid 9.6% to an exceptional 22%.
22% ROIC. That's really efficient.
Further confirming a capital-efficient business model. They also showed successful working capital management with a 6% reduction in requirements in 2023, which directly supported their free cash flow generation. All this points to a company that is not just growing, but doing so very profitably and efficiently, making every euro invested work hard. Hashtag Tetch, hashtag ZZ, capital allocation and a pivotal shareholder shift.
Beyond their impressive financial results, how does Robert Tet manage its capital? And what's this about a significant change in their shareholder structure that was described as a masterstroke? That sounds like quite a development, almost like a chess move in the corporate world.
It was indeed a strategic masterstroke and a really insightful piece of corporate maneuvering. Robert Ted employs a balanced, prudent, and long-term oriented capital allocation strategy. Their strategic capital deployment prioritizes sustainable value creation across three main areas.
Okay, what are those areas?
Firstly, they focus heavily on organic investment, continuously pouring resources back into their industrial footprint, their R&D, and their digital infrastructure to support future growth and maintain their technological edge.
Investing back in the business. Makes sense.
Secondly, they pursue targeted, bolt-on M&A. This isn't about massive risky mergers, but rather smaller strategic acquisitions that expand geographic reach, acquire unique technologies, or broaden their natural ingredient portfolio.
Smart, targeted deals.
Exactly. And thirdly, they maintain a progressive dividend policy, ensuring gradual increases in line with performance and business needs, sharing their success with shareholders.
Growing the dividend steadily.
Right. Their acquisition strategy truly exemplifies this prudent approach. We've seen several recent examples that fit this pattern. FaceX in the U.S. in 2024, which, as we mentioned, enhanced their sustainable, supercritical CO2 extraction capabilities.
We talked about FaceX, yeah.
In 2023, they acquired Sonarome, a major player in the Indian flavors market, providing a critical platform for robust Asian growth.
Getting deeper into India.
Yes. They also picked up Aroma Essential in Spain in 2023, an expert in natural product transformation, and Omega Ingredients in the UK in 2022, a specialist in high-quality natural flavors. These acquisitions are carefully selected to enhance specific capabilities and market presence without the significant integration risks often associated with larger, more speculative deals.
Sounds very strategic. And their balance sheet?
Financially, Robert Ted maintains a strong, conservative balance sheet. As of the end of 2024, NetJet stood at a modest $97.7 million, a significant reduction from $153.0 million in 2023.
Cutting debt nicely.
Yeah, this deleveraging, driven by robust free cash flow generation, results in a very low net debt to EBITDA ratio, giving them substantial financial flexibility to continue their growth plans without undue financial strain.
Lots of flexibility then. Now, tell me about this shareholder masterstroke.
Right. Regarding their shareholder returns and structure, Robert Ted has a long and stable history of dividend payments. The proposed dividend for FY 2024 is $10.00 per share, which represents a compound annual growth rate over 15% from 5.60 in 2019.
Dividend growing faster than earnings, almost.
Pretty much, yeah. This is supported by a very conservative payout ratio of approximately 23%, indicating its sustainability and allowing most profits to be reinvested back into the business for future growth.
Plenty of room for more increases.
Exactly. But the masterstroke you referred to, and it truly was a pivotal moment, was the shareholder reshaping in November 2024. For a long time, their competitor, Diesem Firmenich, held a significant 22% stake in Robert Ted.
A competitor holding 22%? That's awkward.
It was a notable overhang because it represented a potential conflict of interest and also fueled persistent takeover speculation that could distract management. Crucially, when Diesem Firmenich decided to divest this stake, it was not sold into the open market.
Which could have tanked the stock price.
Exactly. Which could have created significant downward pressure on Robert Ted's stock price and created uncertainty. Instead, it was strategically placed with two long-term patient institutional investors, Fonds Strategic de Participations, FSP, and Peugeot Invest, each taking 7.1%.
Peugeot, like the car family.
That's the investment arm, yes. And concurrently, the founding Mauber family increased its own holding in the company, further solidifying their commitment.
So what was the precise impact of that particular move? It sounds like it solved a lot of problems at once and created a new kind of stability.
It absolutely did. It solved multiple problems simultaneously, creating a much more stable and predictable governance structure for the long term. Firstly, it removed a direct competitor from the shareholder registry, completely eliminating that specific conflict of interest and the persistent takeover speculation that had previously clouded the stock.
Cleared the air.
Definitely. Secondly, replaced that potentially problematic stake with aligned long-term capital partners in FSP and Peugeot Invest, who explicitly support the family's strategic vision and will take seats on the board.
Supportive long-term investors instead.
Right. And thirdly, while solidifying the Mauber family's long-term control, it simultaneously increased the stock's free float, which should improve liquidity over time for other investors.
Better liquidity, more stable control. Win-win.
Pretty much. The net result is a highly stable governance structure, allowing management to focus entirely on its Seed to Success 2030 plan, free from external pressures or distractions. It's a textbook example of intelligent capital allocation and corporate governance, demonstrating a very strategic long-term vision.
Robert Het isn't just resting on its laurels. They've clearly taken steps to secure their present, and now they've unveiled a clear and compelling vision for the future. Their Seed to Success 2030 strategic roadmap. What are their ambitions, and how do they plan to achieve them over the next several years?
That's right. They're looking confidently towards the future. At their inaugural Capital Markets Day in May 2025, Robert Het laid out ambitious yet achievable long-term financial targets for Seed to Success 2030. By 2030, they aim for annual revenue of 1.1 to 1.2 billion.
Over a billion euros.
Which implies a compound annual growth rate of 5-7% from their current base. On the profitability front, they're targeting an EBITDA margin consistently above 20%.
Pushing past that 20% mark.
A meaningful step up from their already impressive current levels and a stable return on capital employed, or ROCE, of around 16%. These aren't just arbitrary numbers. They reflect a detailed plan.
Okay, so clear financial goals. How do they plan to get there? What are the pillars?
These targets are grounded in three core strategic pillars. The first is innovation. They plan to accelerate the development of truly disruptive and sustainable natural products. This includes investing heavily in core R&D, but also pursuing what they call augmented naturality.
Augmented naturality, what's that?
It's a fascinating concept that involves leveraging cutting-edge biotechnology and ag tech to enhance their natural offerings, pushing the boundaries of what natural can mean. Think using biotech to make natural processes more efficient or sustainable.
Interesting blend of nature and tech.
Exactly. They're also further developing their Villa Blue Innovation Hub to foster creativity and collaboration. The second pillar is geographic expansion. This is a focused push into 10 priority countries, primarily in high-growth regions like Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and Latin America.
Focusing on those growth markets.
Right. As you mentioned earlier, they explicitly target Asia to grow from 16% of group revenue in 2023 to nearly 25% by 2030, recognizing the explosive growth potential there. To support this, new industrial projects are planned for Indonesia, Mexico, and India, alongside significant upgrades to existing sites in places like the UK, US, and China.
Investing in factories where the growth is.
Precisely. The third pillar is operational excellence. This involves optimizing synergies from their recent acquisitions, ensuring they get the most out of their new capabilities, and continuing to invest in a global, agile, and sustainable industrial platform to enhance efficiency across their entire seed to scent value chain.
Getting more efficient everywhere.
Pretty much. Looking at segment-specific drivers, they anticipate accelerated growth across all four divisions. The health and beauty segment in particular is targeted to double its contribution to group revenue by 2030.
Doubling health and beauty. Big bet there.
It is. This will be driven by the powerful convergence of the beauty, health, and wellness industries, where Robert Het's expertise in natural active ingredients will be highly sought after as consumers increasingly seek out products that offer both aesthetic and functional benefits. For the other divisions, they foresee continued benefit from premiumization in fragrances and the non-cyclical sustained demand for natural and clean-label food and beverage products.
No company, no matter how well-positioned or how clear its roadmap, is immune to global challenges. What recent industry headwinds has Robert Het faced over the past few years, and how effectively have they navigated them, especially considering the volatility of the past few years?
That's a crucial question, because true resilience is proven in challenging times. The past 3 years have indeed presented a complex and volatile macroeconomic environment, and Robert Het's management has provided clear insights into how they manage these challenges.
Okay, like what specifically?
First, inflation pressures were significant in 2022 and 2023, with substantial increases in raw material, energy, and transportation costs hitting industries worldwide.
Everyone felt that.
Absolutely. Many companies struggled to maintain profitability, but Robert Het showed remarkably resilient operating margins and even managed to increase its EBITDA margin in 2023. This demonstrates a robust business model with significant pricing power, allowing them to successfully pass on a significant portion of these higher costs to customers.
That pricing power showing up again.
Definitely. By 2024, the inflationary context had stabilized, contributing to their margin recovery and highlighting their strong pricing ability. Second, they faced customer inventory destocking in 2023.
Right, the hangover from COVID supply chains.
Pretty much. After the supply chain uncertainties during and immediately post-COVID, many customers had built up safety stocks. As global supply chains normalized in 2023, these customers aggressively reduced their inventories, particularly impacting Robertet's raw materials division.
So a direct hit there.
Yes. But the strong rebound in 2024, which management noted was aided by customers rebuilding inventories, confirms that this was a temporary weakness, a cyclical adjustment, not a structural problem for the business. They rebounded quickly because the underlying demand for natural ingredients remained strong.
Good to see it was temporary. What else?
Third, geopolitical risks and supply chain disruptions have been an ongoing concern from 2022 to 2024. Management has consistently acknowledged the unpredictable environment. However, critically, Robertet's unique, highly integrated sourcing model, combined with its strategy of building long-term, direct relationships with suppliers around the world, proved to be a key strength.
The seed-to-scent model helping again.
Exactly. This deep network and localized presence enabled them to maintain supply to their customers even amidst global tensions and transportation disruptions. It's a testament to the foresight of their strategy. Fourth, they've been proactive with regulatory changes.
Like the CSRD we mentioned.
Yes, exactly. For instance, they're preparing diligently for new sustainability regulations like the EU's Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive. Management views these increasingly stringent requirements not as a burden, but as an opportunity to formalize and enhance their long-standing competitive advantage in sustainability and traceability.
Leaning into it.
They've been doing this for decades, and new regulations simply provide a framework to showcase their existing strengths. This proactive approach turns a potential headwind into a reinforcement for their competitive moat. Finally, while less detailed, the analysis notes they have faced exposure to currency fluctuations.
The usual suspect for global companies.
With over 60% of sales in non-euro currencies, primarily the U.S. dollar, which was cited as a headwind in the first half of 2023. And like many specialized industries, they also face labor market tightness for highly specialized talent, like master perfumers and flavorists, which they identify as a major operational risk.
Can't just hire anyone for that.
No, it's highly skilled work, indicating the high value of human capital in their business. Despite these varied and significant headwinds, Robertet's resilience and ability to not just survive but thrive demonstrates the strength of their underlying business model and strategic execution.
That's a comprehensive look at how they've navigated choppy waters. Now, let's turn to how the market actually values Robertet. Does its stock price fully reflect the quality, profitability, and growth we've been discussing? Or is there a disconnect that a curious investor might notice?
That's the crucial question for anyone looking to understand the investment case. The analysis suggests that Robertet trades at a notable discount on key valuation metrics, particularly EBITDA, when compared to its high-quality European peers.
A discount? Compared to who?
For instance, Robertet's EBITDA is approximately 10.6x, significantly lower than Givaudan's 22.0x and Symrise's 16.3x.
Wow, less than half of Givaudan's multiple.
Exactly. This discount exists despite Robertet boasting comparable or even superior EBITDA margins and higher organic growth in the most recent fiscal year. It's a noticeable gap for a company with such strong fundamentals.
Why the gap then? What are the reasons?
This valuation gap likely stems from several factors. Robertet has a smaller market capitalization compared to these giants. It has historically had lower stock liquidity, and it's also traditionally had more limited analyst coverage.
So smaller, less traded, less followed?
Basically, yes. These factors can contribute to a perception of being less discoverable by the broader market. However, the fundamental performance of the company, its superior margin profile, strategic positioning in the fastest-growing industry segment, and robust financial health strongly suggest that a higher multiple is warranted, aligning it more closely with its quality peers.
So potential for a re-rating upwards.
The sources identify several potential catalysts for exactly that, for the market to give Robertet the recognition it perhaps deserves. The recent stabilization of the shareholder base, which we discussed as a masterstroke, has removed a key overhang and source of uncertainty.
That definitely helps.
The launch of their clear Seed to Success 2030 strategic plan provides investors with a transparent long-term roadmap and specific financial targets. And improved investor communication efforts, such as their first-ever Capital Markets Day, are designed to increase market awareness and appreciation for the company's unique value proposition.
Getting the story out there more.
Exactly. These factors could certainly help narrow that valuation gap over time. In terms of yield analysis, their dividend yield is modest at approximately 1.2%, based on the proposed £10.00 dividend for FY 2024.
1.2% isn't huge up front.
No, but the key attraction here is not the immediate yield, but the rapid pace of dividend growth, which has compounded at over 15% annually in recent years.
Ah, the growth is the story there.
Precisely. This rapid growth is supported by a very low and sustainable payout ratio of just 23%, which means they're only distributing a small portion of their profits, leaving plenty for reinvestment and future increases. Furthermore, their free cash flow, or FCF, yield is healthy, at approximately 4.4%, €74 million FCF on a 1.69 billion market capitalization.
4.4% FCF yield, that's solid cash generation.
It is. It indicates substantial cash generation relative to its market value for a company with Robert Tett's defensive growth characteristics. So while not cheap on an absolute basis, on a relative basis, and considering its consistent quality and growth potential, it appears quite attractive.
No business, however strong its competitive moat or compelling its growth story, is without risk. What are the key potential headwinds that could impact Robert Tett's performance and valuation going forward that we, as curious learners, should be aware of?
It's vital to consider the potential risks, and the analysis provides a clear picture. Given Robert Tett's core identity, the primary business and operational risk is raw material volatility and sourcing risk.
Makes sense, relying on nature.
Exactly. Their reliance on natural ingredients means they are inherently exposed to agricultural risks, such as poor harvests, crop diseases, and extreme weather events, which climate change can exacerbate. Many key ingredients also come from regions prone to geopolitical instability.
Weather, politics, lots of variables.
A significant disruption to a critical ingredient supply could impact production and margins. However, this risk is substantially mitigated by their highly diversified sourcing network across over 60 countries and their long-term direct partnerships. But it can't be entirely eliminated. It's a constant management challenge.
Okay, what else operationally?
Secondly, while their customer base is generally diversified across many products and brands, customer concentration remains a potential risk. The loss of a major client, particularly in the concentrated fine fragrance or global consumer goods sectors, could have material impact.
Losing a big perfume house or food giant.
Right. This was somewhat demonstrated in the first half of 2025, where a slowdown in North American growth was attributed to inventory effects at one of our main customers. This highlights that even with sticky relationships, large clients can cause swings. And thirdly, though highly unlikely given current trends, a sudden and dramatic reversal of changing consumer preferences away from natural and sustainable products would fundamentally challenge Robert Tett's core strategy.
If natural suddenly went out of fashion, seems unlikely though.
Very unlikely, but you have to consider it. From a financial risk perspective, currency exposure is notable. With over 60% of their sales generated in non-euro currencies, primarily the US dollar, Robert Tett is exposed to foreign exchange fluctuations.
The dollar-euro swing can hurt or help.
Exactly. A sustained strong euro, for instance, could negatively impact reported sales and profits when converted back. Also, while their balance sheet is robust, a sustained period of high interest rates could increase the cost of capital for future investments and acquisitions, potentially impacting their growth pace, even with their healthy cash flow.
Cost of borrowing going up.
All right. Lastly, there are industry-specific and regulatory risks. The F&F industry is subject to increasingly stringent global regulations like REACH in Europe, which governs the registration, evaluation, and authorization of chemicals. New restrictions on certain natural ingredients, even those historically used, could force costly product reformulations, affecting their extensive portfolio.
A key ingredient gets banned or restricted.
That's the risk. Robert Tett manages this with a dedicated regulatory affairs department and a proactive compliance approach, but it's an ongoing challenge for the entire industry.
So what does this all mean for you, the curious learner, trying to distill knowledge from complex information? What's the ultimate takeaway about Robert Tett SA after this deep dive?
The core finding is clear. Robert Tett SA has successfully cultivated a highly profitable and defensible leadership position in the most attractive and fastest growing segment of the global flavors and fragrances industry.
Leader in the best niche.
Exactly. Their unique, vertically integrated seed descent business model, combined with their deep expertise in natural ingredients and a long-term orientation fostered by continuous family control, provides a truly durable and wide competitive moat. They've demonstrated remarkable resilience, skillfully navigating recent macroeconomic challenges like inflation and customer destocking, as evidenced by their stellar 2024 financial results.
Prove they can handle tough times.
They really have. With the unveiling of a clear and credible strategic plan for sustained growth through 2030, the company is exceptionally well positioned for the future, leveraging global trends towards natural and sustainable products.
It's a company that exemplifies how specializing intensely in a high-value niche and doing it exceptionally well with a long-term vision can lead to remarkable success and even margin leadership, even for a player that isn't the absolute largest in its broader industry. It's a truly fascinating case study in strategic focus and enduring quality.
Indeed. And considering RubberTED's historical commitment to natural sourcing and their forward-looking investments in augmented naturality, blending biotechnology with traditional agriculture, how might our very understanding of what constitutes natural in products evolve in the coming decades, and what kind of new opportunities, or perhaps ethical questions, could that convergence unlock for consumers and companies alike?
Blurring the lines between nature and science.
It's a question that extends far beyond just flavors and fragrances, touching on the very essence of what we consume and how it's made.